Hi, everyone. This is Sean from Between Two Ravens, a Norse mythology podcast with Sean and David. Recording this a couple hours before I am headed to the airport with my wife for our post-pandemic honeymoon, which we're going to be in Italy for a couple weeks. So I wanted to get this recording done to help David out a little bit, just so we continue publishing episodes while I'm out for those couple weeks. And then once I get back, we're going to get back into Lokasenna from the Poetic Edda and continue our series on Loki. So for this episode, I wanted to continue a short series that I started on Viking Age England. The first episode, I think, was two and a half months ago. I had planned on my Viking Age England series being a three-part series. The first one ended with the Battle of Edington in 878 CE. The second one was going to end with the Battle of Brunanburh, which took place in about 936 CE. And then the third episode was going to wrap up the Viking Age in 1066 CE with the Battle of Hastings and the invasion of the Normans and William the Conqueror. So I've hit sort of a creative block on that series, and part of me wants to do a Viking Age England episode 1.5, where I go further into the man Alfred the Great, who was the King of Wessex, and he was the figure that sort of saved England from the Viking horde that was ravishing and has taken over all of the other Anglo-Saxon kingdoms. So I started reading his bishop's book about him. Bishop Osser wrote a book called The Life of Alfred, and I wanted to get a little bit further into his life, which is going to detail everything after the Battle of Edington and maybe until his death in 899 CE. So that's, I guess, suffice it to say, that's coming at some point. So for this episode, I wanted to tackle one of the sources that we use to discuss our stories on this podcast. We typically will either go into the Poetic Edda or the Prose Edda when discussing these myths. Sometimes we'll go into Heimskringla. Sometimes we'll go into the Volsung Saga or the Saga of the Icelanders. I wanted to discuss one portion of the Prose Edda called Gylfaginning, which we have discussed multiple times in discussing these stories. What I like about Gylfaginning, however, is that if you were to take a look at it, the chronological order of chapters, you kind of get it. It's a good story in itself, as in the world building that it conveys in allowing us to understand the Norse myths helps us understand the later portion of the Prose Edda Scott Scoppermall. It helps us understand the Poetic Edda poems as well. And it gives the audience a better idea of the entire mythology. Gylfaginning, even if there was no Scott Scoppermall, if there was no Poetic Edda, is pretty fascinating in itself and gives us a good idea of what Snorri thought of the Norse religion, or what parts he potentially just made up. So the Prose Edda was written by Snorri Sturluson, who was an Icelandic politician. He wrote the book to teach others how to verbally convey Norse poetry and maybe even write Norse poetry. That was maybe a hot commodity to have back in the day. He worked very closely with the Norwegian king. I think he spent a lot of time in the Norwegian court, and he wanted to train other people how to have this skill at conveying this this poetry, because a potential king in a court may look at that talent as the means for entertainment. So it could potentially be like some type of job or something like that. And or he wanted to teach the listener how to write and convey Norse poetry, because maybe it was also a dying form of poetry. And I think it could have been, you know, both reasons. In the Prose Edda, he starts off with the prologue, which I discussed briefly in my solo episode on the historical Sons of Odin. The second part is Gylfaginning. Gylfaginning, as I mentioned, does not focus as much on the actual Norse stories themselves. However, it functions as world building. You get to understand a lot more about the creation myth, you know, the gods, goddesses, and again, the lead up to Ragnarok. The way it's conveyed, the way these stories and this world building is conveyed, is through the eyes of this character named King Gylfi, who is supposedly a king of Sweden. Gylfi has heard of the Aesir, this tribe of men, this tribe of people and humans as opposed to gods. He heard about their mystical powers and their use of magic, so he sought them out. The Aesir heard that King Gylfi was coming to learn about what they had to say. So they take this opportunity to create this illusion for King Gylfi, who is looking for Asgard, which is a place on Earth, and the Gylfaginning actually mentions that Asgard is Troy, the city in which would have been in modern day Turkey. But he sees this illusion, this hall. So he goes in it, and then he sees the gods. He sees these three figures that are seated on thrones, high, just as high, and third. And they're all aspects of Odin. Again, in this capacity, high, just as high, and third are men, but they are very astute in magic, as I mentioned. So what they do is they sort of test King Gylfi's knowledge of the universe. King Gylfi himself goes by the alias of Gangleri in this meeting. Maybe he wanted to hide his true identity as a king. So high, just as high, and third have a conversation with Gylfi. And that conversation is what documents the chapters in Gylfaginning. So let's say hypothetically in chapter 13, high mentions that there's a god that exists. He's very powerful. The next chapter may begin with Gylfi saying, oh, that god is very powerful. Tell me more about the Aesir. And then chapter 14 will pick up with maybe just as high or third answering the question. And so that's what I really like about Gylfaginning. It's also known as the diluting of Gylfi, because Gylfi is the main character in Gylfaginning, not necessarily the Norse gods. Gylfi is the character who is receiving this information about the Norse gods from humanized versions of those gods. So I hope that made sense, but we can go ahead and get started. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 details Gylfi searching for and then meeting the Aesir. Chapter 3 starts with Gangleri / Gylfi asking who is the widest and oldest of the gods. So High gives him 12 names of Odin. Then it actually quotes Grim the Small from the Poetic Edda. Just as High states that he made the heavens, the earth, the skies, and everything. Third mentions that he created men, and those who die who are righteous will join him in the afterlife. However, evil men will go to hell. And from there, Niflheim, which is called Dark Hell. And I know in previous episodes, I've used Hell and Niflheim interchangeably. That's probably unfair on my part because they are kind of separate, or maybe Hell is a part of Niflheim, etc. Niflheim is below the ninth world. Gangleri then asks what he did before heaven and earth were created, as in what did Odin do? And then that starts chapter 4, where they discuss Niflheim and Muspelheim, which leads into the creation myth. And I'm not going to go into that much detail for all of these chapters, but you'll see in chapter 3, Gylfi asks who is the Allfather. The three aspects of Odin answer the question, and then it goes into the next chapter, which then discusses Niflheim and Muspelheim, which we discussed in our episode on the creation myth. Chapter 5 goes into Ginnungagap, the primordial void of nothingness that Niflheim and Muspelheim spread into, which ultimately created the beings Ymir and the cow Athumla. Chapter 6 goes into Athumla, her licking the ice salts from Niflheim, and thus discovering the figure of a man who is Buri, who gives birth to Bor, who gives birth to Odin, Vili, and Ve. Chapter 7, Odin, Vili, and Ve decide to kill Ymir. Chapter 8, they use Ymir's corpse to create the cosmos. Chapter 9 details them finding the two pieces of driftwood on a beach, and then using those pieces of driftwood to create humanity and giving them life, giving them consciousness, giving them thought, etc. Chapter 10 through chapter 19 detail other parts of the universe that was just created. So we've gotten past the creation myth at this point. Chapter 10 through 19 continue this world building. Chapter 10 discusses the creation of night and day. You have these two characters who are running across the sky, and they run around the world every 24 hours. Night rides the horse Hrimfaxi, while day rides Skinfaxi. So day and night themselves are also personified in this story. Chapter 11 details the creation of the sun and the moon, who are also personified, and they pull chariots across the sky, running from these wolves that chase them across the sky, which the wolves themselves are detailed in chapter 12. Chapter 13 discusses Bifrost, the rainbow bridge, which humans understand Bifrost to be a rainbow. So if they see a rainbow, that's supposedly Bifrost. Chapter 14 talks a little bit about Asgard and the origin of the dwarves, who were actually maggots that were also feeding on the corpse of Ymir, the giants. Chapter 16 goes into other creatures of Yggdrasil. It discusses the hawk Vardfolnir, the squirrel Ratatosk, the serpents Nidhogg, and then four stags, Dane, Dvalin, Dunier, and Durathor. The deers consume the tree's foliage, whereas like Nidhogg may like gnaw at the tree itself. Chapter 17 has something pretty interesting because you also, it notes that there's random places and or halls, first of all, but then you also learn about a second heaven to the south that's going to survive Ragnarok called Aunsleng. Then there's a third heaven called Vidblain where the Light Elves live, which is something that we haven't discussed on the podcast, but I'm sure we're going to unpack it at some point. 18 discusses the origin of the wind. 19 discusses the origins of summer and winter. Then chapters 20 through 37 discuss the gods and the goddesses. So if you kind of understand that there's 53 chapters in Gylfaginning, we're kind of running through it pretty quickly. And thus far, the actual chapters themselves are typically about a half page. Sometimes they're a little bit more. Some of the later chapters in Gylfaginning are, you know, 3 to 4 pages. And then some of the chapters are literal sentences. These chapters 20 through 37 that detail the gods and goddesses are often a couple sentences long. So it's Gylfaginning in itself is a relatively quick read. So chapter 20 is a brief summary of Odin. Chapter 21 details Thor. 22, Baldur. Chapter 23 details Nord and Skadi, who we discussed earlier in the season on Loki. Chapter 24 briefly describes Frey and his sister Freya. Chapter 25 discusses Tyr. 26 discusses the court poet Bragi. 27 is Heimdall. 28 is Hod, which we have discussed a couple times in the recent episodes, detailing the death of Baldur. Chapter 29 discusses Odin's son Vidar, the Silent. Chapter 30 discusses Ali or Vali, who is the son of Odin and Rind, the son who killed Hod within his first night of living. And he was actually bred pretty much to avenge Baldur, who Hod killed. Chapter 31 is on Uller. Chapter 32 is on Forseti, who is the son of Baldur and Nanna, who both died in our previous episode. Chapter 23 details Loki. Chapter 24 discusses the children of Loki, which we also had a recent episode on. Chapter 35 gives the name of 12 goddesses with their brief descriptions. The names of the goddesses are Frigg, Saga, Eir, Gefjun, Fulla, Freya, Svjón, Lothen, Var, Vor, Sin, Helin, Snatra, Na, Sol, and Bil. A lot of those goddesses we have not discussed. So once we, again, run out of things to talk about, I'm sure we're going to be able to dive deeper into the goddesses of Asgard. Chapter 36 details the Valkyries, and then it mentions a couple more goddesses as well. Chapter 37 discusses Frey and Gerd. And Frey is a character we haven't unpacked too much in this podcast, but I know at some point we're going to discuss this story, and then we're going to discuss Forskirnis from the Poetic Edda, which also involves Frey. Chapter 38 through 41 details Valhalla. Chapter 38 gives some basic details. Chapter 39 details the drinks in Valhalla. Chapter 40 talks about the doors of Valhalla. And then chapter 41 discusses the Einarhar, who are the slain that are chosen from battle to go live with Odin and prepare in preparation for Ragnarok. So this is when the stories, the primary stories, you know, begin. Chapter 42 discusses the walls of Asgard and the birth of Sleipnir, which we previously did an episode on the series of Loki. Chapter 43 discusses Skidbladnir, which is Frey's ship. Then chapter 44 through 47 detail the two episodes that we did on Utgarda-Loki. The end of that story, Thor goes home embarrassed. Utgarda-Loki tells him that he tricked him. He told Thor that he was unable to pick up a cat, but it was actually the world serpent, Jormungandr, who Thor then formed a rivalry with. So the next chapter picks up right after that. And that's chapter 48 being Thor in his run-in with Jormungandr, when he attempted to fish Jormungandr out of the sea using an ox's head. And we discussed that story as well on our episode on Thor the Fisherman. We also discussed a Poetic Edda version, which is slightly different. Chapter 49, we wrapped up last week in discussing the death of Baldur and Hermod's journey to hell. And then chapter 50 picks up right after that. And we are going to discuss this in the next couple of months, but we are going to discuss Loki's capture by the Aesir. The Aesir are obviously pissed off at Loki for orchestrating the death of Baldur and then preventing him from being resurrected. So chapter 50 will detail his capture and torture. Then chapter 51 through 53 discuss Ragnarok. So you see the first portion of the tale that King Gylfi is learning from High Justice High in Third details the creation of the universe. Chapter 51 through 53, the near end of Gylfaginning, detail the ends of this universe. So then chapter 54, King Gylfi learns all he needs to know. He comes back to reality. The hall that was an illusion created by the Aesir, the human versions of the Aesir, disappears. Gylfi goes home to Sweden, and he expectedly tells this story to his kingdom, and thus the legends of the Aesir live on. So that is Gylfaginning. I love how much this story, or this portion of the prose that a world builds to allow us to understand more about Norse mythology, which is something that can be said about the entire prose Edda and Snorri taking the time to write this textbook on how to write poetry. However, Gylfaginning, I think, is my favorite portion of the prose Edda because it gives us what we understand about the universe of the Norse gods. But it kind of continues from the prologue of the prose Edda where Snorri pretty much says, well, there's a god, it's the Christian god, but there was this group of people that were incorrectly worshipped as deities. Here's those stories. And I also think Gylfaginning is very, it's very cool to like understand the stories when we talk about our stuff on the podcast. But I also think it's very helpful for listeners to understand a chapter by chapter breakdown, which is why I ultimately had this episode. So I have a Google Doc that I think I'm going to share on Twitter, just so everybody can take a look at it. It's always forever going to be a work in progress. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners that think I'm an idiot anyway will have their comments about it. And those comments are actually welcome. I am trying to make this better, but anything that I can create that's a better resource for the people that enjoy our podcast to understand the Norse stories, in this case, specifically Gylfaginning, I think is something that's worth my time. But anyway, I appreciate everybody listening to this episode. If you have any questions, you know, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram. It makes my day when people even just reach out to us and say, hey, we love the podcast, keep up the good work. And if you really enjoy our podcast, I'm not sure how you listen to it, whether it's like Apple or Spotify, but if you give us a 5-star rating, that it allows us to help the podcast grow. And I understand before I sign off here, this episode may seem rushed, like a lot of my solo episodes do, but obviously I've been packing and preparing for my trip. So I'm going to do my best to not open my phone and, you know, look at social media and things like that. But I will see everybody in 2 to 2.5 weeks. Thank you. Bye.